it's kind of emotion this morning. I mean, this will be my last Sunday before my sabbatical. I mean, not last Sunday here, but before my sabbatical. So I really pray that, you know, all of us will give Pastor Kurt and his family and the church leaders, you know, all kinds of support, pray for them, care for them, you know, serve together. I'm thinking of sharing this message this morning because I really like to see that every one of us, we learn how to follow our Lord Jesus Christ, because only Him, you know our future. Only Him can hold our future, hold our hand and lead us on step by step. So only in Him we can find, you know, peace, strength. So that's important that we learn how to follow Jesus. I hope all of you do bring your Bible. Okay? If you don't, I try to read, you know, relate the verses. Otherwise, you know, so many verses, I don't have time to read all the detail, but if you have a Bible, that will help a lot. Going to share with you from Luke chapter 9 about following Jesus. Jesus' way of disciple, his you know, apostle, his disciples, he do it personally. And then I learned a lot from there and then try to apply to my Christian life. I really feel like this is the right way to go. So it doesn't matter if you are new, young Christian, or you are Christian for years, follow His way, because His way is the right way. Okay, Luke chapter 9 talk a lot about Jesus and His disciple. You know, it's a long chapter. There are a lot of things that we can learn, but I will just highlight a few areas we share with you. You know, we are very thankful for this church, especially our youth ministry. When I say youth ministry, there are two reasons. One is, even our youth graduate from high school and they go to different universities. And during the summer, most of them come back and they are back to this church and enjoy, you know, to catch up with whatever, you know, have been in the past and try to catch up with friends. And a lot of them stay strong in faith while they are in college. So this is very unique. And secondly, I can see that the youth ministry in our church is so important because according to statistics, 70% of Christian missionaries, they commit themselves and want to be missionary while they are under 12. That means, you know, if you are in between somewhere like 10 to 16, 17, this is the time that God really just speak to you and touch your heart and change your life. Yeah, it's very important period of time. I myself committed to serve full-time. At that time, I have no idea whether missionary or pastor, whatever, but I just commit myself to the Lord when I was 16 years old. And now, how many years after? I just rejoice following our Lord and serving Him. This is a wonderful life. This is important for us. So, when Jesus tried to train His disciples, those they follow Him, Jesus used all kinds of ways to train them. And the first one, Luke chapter 9, verse 1 to 2. When Jesus called the 12 together, He gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And He sent them up to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. You can go on and on. But brothers and sisters, this is the exciting part, you know, not the only place in the Bible, but whenever I read the Bible, this is the exciting part. Why? Because when I was a young believer, I remember I accepted the Lord in 74, and then before that, I called myself Christian, and a church-going Christian, but I never really commit myself to the Lord. Even before that, I went for short-term mission. So-called short-term mission, we don't need to go far. We just go to the local and the needy area. We conduct evangelistic meeting or outreach door-to-door, all kinds of things. If you count those as short-term mission, I don't know how many short-term missions I have been to. A lot. Those are to the same people. I mean, we can use the same language, not too far away, not spending a lot of money. Jesus sent the 12 to a short-term mission, basically to the surrounding area, to the villages, and asked them to go and to do a few things. Give them authority to drive out all demons and cure diseases. And then send them out so that they can preach the kingdom of God. Those are the things that Jesus trained his disciples. You go out, 12, maybe together, maybe two by two. You just go out and try to serve and experience God. Experience God. So short-term mission is very important. I'm so glad that our church, a lot of young people, you are so, excited about any kind of short-term mission. You will say, I want to go. So those are very exciting things, because this is the way that you can experience God firsthand. From this training, we realize the power of God. We realize the power of God. Experience the power of God. That is very important. You know, when I was converted, or when I commit myself to the Lord, I also involved in a cross-cultural mission trip. Not that far away, half day, drive, or on a road, or on a river, whatever. But basically, it's not too far away. We have all kinds of opportunity to experience God if we are serious enough to apply what we believe, what Jesus say, into our life. It's so important. Brother and sister, we can experience the power of God through drive out all demons. In my early days, I have several experience in this area. But bear in mind, as we grow in Christian life, grow older, like older Christians, sometimes we tend to forget that the power is still there. So brother and sister, we really need to depend on God and experience Him, not just counting that, I experienced our Lord, in this way 10 years ago, 5 years ago. We need to experience it every day, because His power, His authority is real. So brother and sister, may God help us. May God help us. When I mention this, I want to let you know that when I was pastor for 8 years, and then went to Bible school and further study again, and then prepare to be missionary, and the demons, the evil spirit attacked me. I was under the control of evil spirit in some way for more than 1.5 years when I was preparing to go to Africa. It was tough. I don't want to go into the detail, but all the time I was reminded God already given me the power and authority to drive out demon. What about demon in me? It was a very tough situation. I cry out, I fast, the demon refused to go. Brother and sister, we need to experience God. If you are in some kind of bondage, don't give up. Because God's power is still the same. We experienced that already. Even though we sometimes struggle in some ways, we don't know how to, really overcome those difficulties. But don't give up. Our God is our answer. Jesus is our answer. He trained His disciple. And then the disciple went out and shared the good news. And they came back. They want to report back to Jesus what they have done, what they have experienced. And Jesus, according to Luke chapter 9, when He saw so many people, the multitude came, and they want to listen to Jesus, and Jesus preached to them, healed them. And then very soon, that is another story follow in Luke chapter 9, verse 10, from verse 10. You remember the story about Jesus feeds the 5,000? How many of you remember this? I believe all of you know this story. I just want to emphasize one thing then when I preach in the Chinese congregation. Verse 13. When a lot of people were gathering there, the disciple asked Jesus, say, can we send those people away back to their own village, to their home, so that they have food, because it's kind of late. Okay? The sun is setting and it's kind of late. This is the wilderness. Can we send them home? And you see how Jesus replied, how Jesus responds to the disciples' request. I mean, those requests are, you know, it's logic. And Jesus, his way of training his disciple, he said that you give them something to eat. That is no logic. Why is no logic? It's wilderness. There is no restaurant. And I suppose the disciples, they don't have much money in their pocket. Judah will know the best because he is treasurer. They don't have enough money to buy food for this, you know, just crowd of people. 5,000 men, and altogether how many? Who knows? It's difficult to count. But Jesus said, you give them something to eat. I don't know you. After following our Lord since 74 until nowadays, 36 years. How many times when I pray to God, say, God, can you help? And God say, you give them something to eat. I say, how can I? What do I have? What do I have? Quite often, when God challenges us to do something, we always think about maybe he can do it or she can do it. Quite often we just feel like, no, not me. I can't. I don't have the talent. I don't know what to do. I don't have the training. And Jesus' way of training his disciple and just saying, follow me. And when disciples were with Jesus, even facing the big crowd like 5,000 or plus, and Jesus said, give them something to eat. They know that they can't. This is another way of knowing our God. Really knowing that, you know, you need to trust and obey, then you know him. Know who we are trusting, who we are following. That is the most important part in our life. Who can tell us about our future? Who can tell about tomorrow? No one. But Jesus, he knows. Even though sometimes we face all kinds of difficulties, we don't know about the future. We don't know what to do about tomorrow. Trust in Jesus. Just come to him and listen to him when he say, sister, no, do this. Or brother, do that. We need to learn how to trust and obey. There is no way. There is no way we can know all the answers before we made a decision. When we were called to go to Africa, I look at Ruth, 2 and a half years old. You know, 2 and a half years old is how little? Do you have sister or someone at home, 2 and a half years old? And then when we told the church family saying that we are going to Africa, tons of questions. What about this? What about that? We don't have answer. We don't have answer. And then we need to raise support. You know, we Chinese, we don't like to raise support. Maybe American also. We don't like to raise support. Like asking money? No way. And Jesus said, go. It's like talking to the disciple. You feed, you give those people something to eat. Is it possible? When I look back, I realize that when we trust and obey, God will do His miracle through us. That is wonderful. Once you experience those once, twice, many times, you know who we are following, and then we follow Him faithfully until the last day. And Luke 9:20. Luke 9:20. This is when Jesus and His disciples were together. Jesus asked them, "Who do the crowd say I am?" And then to verse 20, Jesus narrowed down to even more personally. "But what about you? Who do you say I am? Who do you say Jesus is?" We cannot live under the shadow of other Christians. Like, okay, you know, God bless this man and he served the Lord well and God bless him, God use him mightily. Okay, that's him. What about me? What about you? Jesus asked, "Who do you say I am?" Jesus wants us to build our personal faith, you know, knowing Him very personally, intimately, knowing Him, so that we really know who is Jesus. Then we know who we are following. Brother and sister, we are so easy to look at people, get frustrated with people, because we count on someone and someone fail us, or we depend on someone cannot help us, or you know, a lot of things going on. We need to lift our eye from horizontal level to vertical level. We need to lift our eyes to see who is our Lord, who is our Jesus, and follow Him, and follow Him alone. That is so important. Disciples need to learn this because Jesus is leaving them very soon. They need to learn how to look up instead of just looking around and see who can do something. So brother and sister, following Jesus, we need to answer this question. Jesus asked you and me, "Who do you say I am?" What is your answer? What is my answer? It's interesting. A lot of questions we ask, we may not find answer in the Bible directly. But if we really know Jesus, then you know how He think, you know how He work, you know His way of doing things. Then we are so confident knowing that He cares and He can take us over whatever circumstances, challenges. So this is so important. So brother and sister, we need to learn, you know, to follow Jesus and then experience God and learn how to trust and obey and learn really knowing God, knowing Jesus, and focus on Jesus. Those are so important. And Luke 9:23. Luke chapter 9 verse 23. "Then He said to them all, 'If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.'" Take up his cross and follow me. In order to do that, first we need to deny ourselves. What do we mean by deny ourselves? We need to live a life. Let Jesus be our Lord. We need to live a life not considering ourselves, our needs all the time. If we only think about ourselves, we are self-centered. If we only think about ourselves, then where is Jesus? Then when we got into trouble, who are we going to turn to? Are we going to try to self-solve the problem or ask Jesus to help us? If we don't follow Jesus' way, and Jesus, sorry, He is not going to interrupt us like our lives rudely. He will be standing beside us and look at us sadly, because if we decide to have our life our own way, you know, live a self-centered life, then He can't force us to do anything. He will remind us, he tries to encourage us, but if we refuse to listen, brother and sister, we cannot follow our Lord. We cannot know his way. So Jesus said, you know, we need to take up his cross. That is our responsibility. Take up the cross. That means, you know, we need to learn like Jesus. Jesus cared for other people, and Jesus willing to sacrifice, Jesus willing to, you know, die for people. That kind of life that Jesus wants us to follow. Put ourselves aside and think about the needs of other people. Think about what our Lord thinks that is most important, most valuable for our life. If we start living a life not receiving all the time and learning how to give, then we realize our life is so different. It's so wonderful. So brother and sister, we need to learn. You know, if we want to follow Jesus, we need to let go. And then we need to take up. Let go our way and take up and follow his way. This is the only way. That's the only way. So where are we now? Are we planning for ourselves? And then occasionally come before the Lord and say, Jesus, you know, I just come and say hi to you. Long time no see. You know. Sorry, that's not a way that Jesus wants us to follow. Because we'll get lost very easily. We'll get discouraged very easily. So let's come before the Lord and follow him. So Jesus said here, you know, take up his cross daily. Daily. All the time. All the time. And follow him all the time. Are we following him all the time? We know that sometimes it's easy to talk and not that easy to really implement or do it. May God help us. May God help us. And when we come to another verse, chapter 9, verse 36. Chapter 9, verse 36. Is it here? Okay. Let's read together, okay? When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept his to themselves and told no one at the time what they had seen. Jesus was alone. The whole scenario was, Jesus brought three of his 12 disciples up to the mountain. This in the Bible called transfiguration. Jesus, you know, changed. His clothing became white like snow. And at the same time, Moses and Elijah, they both appeared. And they were talking about the future of Jesus, when Jesus is going to die and what happened in the future. And the three disciples, Peter and who? Three of them. Peter, John, James. Okay, those are the, you know, three disciples. They are very close to Jesus. They were up at the mountain with Jesus. And when they were up there, they kind of, I'm not sure, they just kind of, you know, take a nap or something. And they realized that it certainly what happened on the mountain. And Peter was so excited. And Peter suggested saying that, can we put up three, you know, what? Put up three tents. Put up three shelters. One for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And they were not knowing what they were talking about. They were so excited. What a vision. What an experience they have when we follow Jesus. And at the same time, a voice came from the heaven, from above. And the voice came from the cloud saying, this is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him. I really like verse 36. We don't see anyone else. No more Moses. No more Elijah. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Brothers and sisters, when we look around, when you come to church, who do you see? Okay, we see friends. you know, we see pastors, we see a lot of people. But if we don't see Jesus, why are you coming for? Why are you here? We need to see Jesus. We don't say we don't need to see other people, but we need to see Jesus. You can say, oh, I missed you last Sunday, I didn't see you. That's fine, you can make it up this week. But we need to prepare our heart and come here to worship Jesus. He is the only one count. Even when we look around, no one understands, no one supports us. But Jesus understands, Jesus, you know, supports us. He loves us. That counts. They made a whole lot of difference in our Christian life. So learn how to focus on Jesus. Learn how to focus on Jesus. You know, when they look at the crowd, 5,000, 10,000 people, and when they learn how to focus on Jesus, how he brought up the basket of, you know, bread and the fish, and when Jesus put it down, and when they, you know, just divide it, share it with whoever, when they look at Jesus, they see miracles. They see miracles. So brothers and sisters, the war is not getting easier. Everything is getting harder and harder. But as Christians, we need to know Jesus never changed. He never changed. And he is the only one that we can follow, that we can trust, that we can look to. So remember, when we want to follow Jesus, when we want to experience victorious life, only Jesus can provide the answer. Can you pray to God, to Jesus, saying that, Lord Jesus, I want to follow you. I want your way, not my way. Really come into my life and be my Lord this morning. Rededicate yourself to the Lord and ask him to come into your life to be your Lord. Let's pray. You speak to God, to Jesus, in a very personal way. Invite him to reign in your life. Be your Lord. Our Lord Jesus, he is more than willing to do that. He loved you and loved me. He wants to guide you and guide me. Follow him and follow him alone. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming into our life and be our Lord this morning. Not just Savior, but also be our Lord and Lord over everything in our life. In Jesus' name.